Remember, Proverbs takes these truths and expresses them sometimes in a poetic way, and you might wonder, what does that mean? The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. That sounds a little strange. You know, it sounds profound, but I'm not sure why. Well, we're going to look a little more at that.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Folks, I know this is true, and I got a really good lesson in it just this last week. And that's this expression, you know, be careful what you preach, because you just might have to live it out. And last week our message was on speech, right, on the tongue. Well, I have to tell you, wouldn't you know it, I got an opportunity just, an hour after the service last week. I stopped at the Wonder Lake Subway restaurant. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but I did. And as I was, I had put my order in there, and I'm waiting, and there were a couple of people in front of me, and there was a woman, I don't know exactly what the issue was, but she was kind of fussing over what they had given her and what the price was, and she was saying, you know, at the McHenry Subway, they give me this, or they do that, and so forth, and the clerk was trying to explain, well, no. It went on and on and on. And finally, though, they resolved the situation. Well, then the next man steps up, a gentleman there, and he started complaining about the price. Well, that's not what I paid before. You know, it's like it was this. Well, sir, there was a special, and so on and so on. And eventually then he was done, and then I stepped up. And, of course, I had to say, you know, at the McHenry Subway, they gave me 2 bags of chips for this price. So, fortunately, it was taken as it was intended as a joke, and they laughed, and it was funny. But oh, the temptation of the tongue, right? Well, we've been looking in the book of Proverbs at wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to discern, to judge, to understand what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting. And we've seen that the beginning of wisdom, the starting point of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. That if we are going to walk in wisdom, be wise men, women, and young people, we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that profound awe and respect for the nature and the power of God, and a sobering acknowledgement that God's holiness, His judgment, His discipline are a consuming fire. We've seen characteristics of wisdom, that wisdom fears the Lord and pursues righteousness. We've seen characteristics of folly. Folly does not fear the Lord, and it pursues what it wants and what it thinks best. We said the Proverbs covers many different subject matters. We've looked at sexual integrity, last week's speech, and this week the subject of diligence. Message title today, Just Do It. Anybody recognize that expression, just do it? Become a very famous advertising tagline, hasn't it? It is an advertisement for whom? Nike, right? Nike, by the way, comes from the Greek word nikeo, which means victory. Correct. So Nike, 1988, created this advertising campaign saying, just do it. Forget the excuses and just get out there and just do it. Conquer. On to victory. Nikeo, Nike. And it's become one of the most recognized advertising lines in history, and it has helped Nike to sell billions of dollars in merchandise. Today, though, we're not looking to sell merchandise with that. Rather, my intent is to sell us something else. It is to sell us on action and spiritual faithfulness. The opposite of diligence is laziness, or as Proverbs likes to refer to it, the way of the sluggard. The way of the sluggard. So this opposite of diligence, the way of the sluggard, does not ultimately bring comfort and ease as we might suppose. I think that's why that default position of the sluggard or the lazy thinks that somehow through avoiding work and not doing things that's going to bring ease and comfort. Well, I don't have to do hard work then, but I think Proverbs as well as our life experience makes clear laziness does not bring a life of comfort and ease, does it? In fact, quite the opposite. Rather, laziness produces many problems, and I would say it produces many vain problems. Vain problems. We're going to look in a moment about the significance of that word vain there. Our central text today is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19. Proverbs 15, verse 19. Now, it's only one verse, but it packs quite a punch. And in that one sentence, it reveals the truth about laziness and diligence, the results of laziness and the results of diligence. So if you have your Bibles, would you look with the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 19? It says, "The way of the sluggard, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." And remember, Proverbs takes these truths and expresses them sometimes in a poetic way, and you might wonder, what does that mean? The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. That sounds a little strange. You know, it sounds profound, but I'm not sure why. Well, we're going to look a little more at that. And I guess what I'll say is that what this is saying, in short, is the bottom line of this is this. I want us to think of this in a flow of three thoughts here. What is this saying? Well, first of all, everyone will face problems in life. Everyone will face problems. Anyone disagree with that here? You know, it does not matter if you're righteous or unrighteous, if you are lazy or diligent, if you're a man or a woman of integrity or not, everyone is going to face problems, right? There's no question about that. Everyone will face problems. But I think what this is saying here is that the lazy will face many vain problems. Vain problems. What is vain? Well, it's what? It's something that is empty. It is pointless. It is useless. It is something that is of no value. So if we say something was done in vain, that means what? It didn't serve any purpose. It didn't accomplish anything. It didn't do anything good. It was a waste. And there are problems, and we're all going to face problems. But there is a world of difference between vain problems and problems in the hands of God that are not in vain. So everyone faces problems. But the lazy will face many vain problems, empty, pointless, useless, of no value. That is, the lazy will bring these problems onto themselves that they need not have faced. Empty, pointless, useless troubles because of their laziness, because of their refusal to be morally and spiritually diligent. They will bring many thorns, painful, useless problems into their lives. But for the righteous diligent, however, God will clear the way of vain problems, and He'll smooth the road ahead for blessing and fruitful service. So the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. As the sluggard, the lazy person is going to bring a lot of problems on himself. And as he or she tries to go forward in life, they're going to encounter these painful thorns. And these are problems of his or her own making. And these are problems that aren't necessarily serving a good purpose in their life because it's a result, a consequence of their laziness. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. But the path of the upright is a highway. Now, if you're thinking, if you're wanting to move forward, which would you rather move forward on, a way that is blocked with thorns or a highway? A highway, you see that opened up before you. It's clear, it's smooth, you can move right along, right? It's not saying you're not going to have problems on the highway. What? The way is clear before you to move forward. So the righteous diligent, however, they're not going to face the vain problems of the sluggard. And in fact, the problems that are there, God is going to smooth the way ahead. The problems that do come are going to be useful in His hands for His purposes, for advancing us. And we'll see that road ahead will take us to where we want to go. We're going to accomplish goals. We're going to get somewhere because we're diligent. We're not lazy. And that way ahead leads to God's blessing and service, fruitful service. So let's take a look then at a sampling. That is kind of our key thought for today. That the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the righteous is a highway. Let's take a look at the sampling then of what Proverbs has to teach us about the lazy and the diligent. First, the lazy. Proverbs tells us that the lazy are caught short through inaction. They are caught short through inaction. Or it's because they have not acted when they should, now they're facing problems and difficulties and lack and need because they didn't act when they should have. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." So we see here in these verses a lesson directed to the sluggard, the lazy person. I love that word sluggard. Is it just me? I love that. The sluggard. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from what? A slug, the way of a slug. You've seen these slimy little worm-like creatures. You've seen them, how they just kind of sit there and maybe they kind of move. They just kind of ooze along very, very slow. If they move at all, just kind of ooze along very. And just the word slug, a sluggard, is the picture then of that person just kind of going through life, just kind of oozing along. That's the lazy person, the sluggard. So listen, sluggard. Listen and learn. The sluggard is advised to observe another small creature. The slug is a little small creature. Well, we'll take a look at another small creature, sluggard. That other small creature is the ant. Consider the ways of the ant and be wise. What do you see? Well, first it tells us the ant has no commander. It has no overseer. It has no ruler. In other words, it does not have a taskmaster with a whip, you know, forcing it to do what it does. In other words, when it's saying it has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, it's talking about self-discipline and self-motivation. Doesn't need someone standing over it, cracking the whip. Now, you know, there's a place for that. I think we all need a little whip cracking occasionally, don't we? But the sluggard must observe the ant and see, the ant is going to do, they don't need constant badgering or threatening from someone else to do what needs to be done. They do it because it needs to be done. They're self-motivated, they're self-disciplined. So the ant, self-motivated, self-disciplined. It also, then what? It stores its provisions in summer and gathers food at harvest. In other words, what? It does what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Takes action when that action needs to be taken. Takes advantage of opportunities. Makes the most of the time. And prepares for the future. Meanwhile, what does the sluggard do or not do, as the case would be? Sluggard says what? How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? And then there's a little phrase here, a little expression. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. By the way, do we all need a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to rest? Sure do. But the sluggard, though, that's his way of life. That's his way of life. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And then what happens? And poverty will come on you like a bandit, like a robber. And scarcity like an armed man. So all that lazy, you say, yeah, you were resting, you were taking it easy, and then all of a sudden the opportunities are gone. What you should have done long before, that time is now past, and guess what? Now the circumstances, the thorns, are staring you right in the face. And it's like a criminal with a gun to your back, taking away. Poverty will come on you like a bandit, scarcity like an armed man. So the sluggard lacks self-discipline and self-motivation. The sluggard does not take advantage of opportunities. She does not make the most of her time. She does not prepare for the future. And what is the result? Poverty and need. She will be found wanting. She will be caught short through inaction. He will have nothing because of his failure to act earlier. So the lazy are caught short through inaction. What else? The lazy crave and get nothing. The lazy crave and get nothing. Proverbs 13:4 states it very simply and clearly. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. You hear that word crave, what do you think of? White Castle? Okay. I have to admit, I wasn't expecting that answer, but okay. But what is behind the White Castle is what? It's a desire, a want, right? A craving is a strong desire for something. Do lazy people have strong desires? Sure they do. Sometimes they don't, but... But the lazy person, the sluggard, craves, has these strong desires. They want certain things, but what? They're not willing to do anything about it. They're not willing to work to achieve those goals or get those things. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. He or she wants intently, but they don't do anything about it. They daydream all day long. They fantasize about it, rather than working hard to achieve their goals. But the diligent what? The diligent work toward their goals, while the lazy merely crave, and their cravings will be denied. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. What else did the lazy do? I love this one. And I have to admit, I may have used this, not this exact excuse in this form, but the lazy create excuses to avoid work. You know someone like this who can just come up with like all kinds of incredible stories and reasons for why they can't be there that day or why they didn't do what they were supposed to do? The lazy create excuses to avoid work. Proverbs 22, verse 13 says this, and it sounds a little strange at first, but here's what it is. It says, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion outside,' or, 'I will be murdered in the streets.'" I think, what? The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside," or, "I'll be murdered in the streets." What is that? It's a stupid excuse to avoid work, for going out and doing something. I can't go out because there's a lion out there. Dumb, right? Just using humor to show the what? The lazy create excuses in order to avoid work. There's a lion outside. I'll be murdered in the streets. So the next time you really don't feel like doing something, just say, "There's a lion outside." And then when they look at you real strange, you say, "When you have figured out what that means, you come back and see me." Right? So the lazy are caught short through their own inaction. They crave, they desire, but they get nothing because they're unwilling to work for it. The lazy then too will create excuses, sometimes even humorous excuses, ridiculous excuses, in order to avoid work. You know, we might laugh a little bit at that last one, or we think of this and we see them hurting themselves through their inaction. But we know, though, that laziness doesn't just hurt the lazy person, does it? That it affects other people. And so also then the lazy hurt others through their inactivity or their refusal to own up to their responsibilities. Proverbs 18:9 says this: "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." The one who is slack in his work, that is, he's lazy, doesn't get around to his work, a slacker. Do we have any slackers here? One who is slack in his work, a slacker, is brother to one who destroys. His laziness is destructive to others as well. It doesn't just affect the slacker. The sluggard here, the lazy person, is compared to the person who says his brother to the one who's... In other words, they're related, in the same family. He's compared to the person who deliberately sets out to ruin and destroy. Now, I don't think the sluggard doesn't deliberately intend to hurt others. But that's the end result of it. Because of his or her failure to act, others are wounded. And even society, all of society, pays a price, sometimes a literal price, for the laziness of the sluggard. So the lazy is caught short through inaction. They crave and they get nothing. They create excuses, sometimes ridiculous excuses, to avoid work. And then, unfortunately, it hurts others as well. Now, what about the diligent? What does Proverbs have to teach us about the diligent? Well, first of all, they act in season. They act in season. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 again. This time we see the other side of it. Remember, it said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So again, the diligent, what, are self-disciplined and self-motivated. They don't need someone over them threatening them all the time in order to accomplish things or do things that need to be done. So they're self-disciplined, self-motivated. They also then act in season to redeem the time. What I mean, that there are opportunities that come along like this needs to be done. It needs to be done now. I know we have a couple of farmers here. Do you go out and harvest your crops in January? No. You harvest them when? In the fall at harvest time, right? That's when it needs to be done. You can't wait till January. So, diligent people act in season to redeem the time. Sometimes there are windows of opportunity that we have. Now, I have to say, unfortunately, you know, I've seen a few windows close because I didn't act in time. But the diligent then says, you know what, I'm going to learn from that and I'm not going to let that window close the next time. The diligent act in season to redeem the time. They take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. By the way, did I mention the workday opportunity coming up this Saturday? Someone said he can't come. There's a lion outside, so... Well, why are we? Well, actually, I kind of said that kiddingly, but why are we doing that this Saturday? Why are we doing that so we can prepare to paint? What? So that's ready for Awana in September. We can't do that in October once Awana has started, can we? We need to act now. So they take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. They get the work done when it needs to be done, not after it needed to be done. And as a result, they are prepared, they're ready for the future. The future is a highway. It isn't blocked with thorns. And want and need are not going to sneak up on the diligent person like an armed robber. Taking them by surprise. They're ready. So the diligent act in season. Also, the diligent profit through hard work. They profit through hard work. Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a what? A profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Profit comes from hard work and not mere talk. Now, it's interesting, that word translated hard work there, all hard work brings a profit, is translated painful toil in Genesis 3:18. Remember, God said that one of the curses on man and on the world after the fall into sin was that now work isn't painful toil necessarily, is it? But sometimes it can become painful toil. Even good work can be wearisome and toilsome. That's part of the fall, the curse. It says, you know, even that painful toil, it brings a profit. There's a value in that. But, you know, we may fear painful toil, but there's something we should fear more than painful toil, and that's empty talk. Sure, with the empty talk, I'm going to do this, I got to take care of that, and... Well, we avoid the pain of the painful toil, but what do? We're just replacing it with the pain of the consequences of not having acted and done what needed to be done as the way before us becomes blocked with thorns. So work leads to profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. In other words, don't just talk about it. Don't daydream about it. Don't say you're going to do it. Just do it. Be diligent and faithful in that. The diligent also then have their desires satisfied. Proverbs 13:4. First part we looked at before, it says, what the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. It says, if we are going to have our hopes and dreams, our desires fulfilled, that demands diligence. Work on our part. I know that the Lord blesses and He has given me far more than I have ever deserved. But not everything just comes down from heaven on the proverbial silver platter, does it? God calls us to work and to be faithful. Not just to daydream or want. So the sluggard daydreams, craves, and doesn't do anything about it, and they get nothing. But the one who is faithful and diligent, God satisfies those desires. The hard work of the diligent results in satisfaction. Their hard work pays off, and their desires are realized. Let me make a statement here. Remember we said before at the beginning of our series in Proverbs, Proverbs is a statement of general truths. This is generally how life works. And generally that is the case, right? When we work hard at something, we're rewarded for that effort that we put into it. Now, is this then an absolute ironclad guarantee that if you really want something, if you just work hard enough, it's going to happen? No. That's not the entirety of scriptural teaching. Because what? God is sovereign. We live in a fallen world. Some things are not simply going to be in this life. But from the perspective of eternity, what do you think about that? Is God going to reward that faithful diligence, whatever may come in this life? You bet. You bet. So the diligent act in season. They profit through hard work. Their desires are satisfied. And what? They achieve their goals. Taking us back to our theme verse again, Proverbs 15:19. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. In other words, as we are being faithful and diligent, going about the responsibilities God has given us, He's going to clear the way of those vain obstacles and problems. We're not going to bring those things on. God's going to open up the way. He's going to bring opportunities before us. Our life becomes like a highway, and we can move forward and progress and achieve, accomplish. We won't deal with the obstacles of foolish consequences and vain problems, but rather God will make a highway for fruitful service in front of us. This thought ties into a favorite scripture passage of mine. I'm sure it is a favorite for many of you as well. Proverbs 3:5-6, similar concept here. It says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? He will direct your paths, or you may see sometimes translated what? He will, your paths will be smooth. It's the same idea. A New Testament thought on diligence here. We've looked at some book of Proverbs that I want to consider this from the Apostle Peter, where he talks about diligence. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness? This doesn't say God, He's given us everything we want. It says what? He has given us everything we need for life and godliness, all under the veil of His sovereignty. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. It says, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5, for this reason, because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, because through His promises we can participate with Him in holiness, for this reason, what? Make every effort. Be diligent. Don't be spiritually lazy. Be diligent. Be spiritually diligent. Make every effort to add to your faith. You say you have faith? Well, that's wonderful. James says what? You have faith? Well, show me your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Not that we're saved by works. We're not. But James says a genuine faith is a faith that works. It does something. So for this, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. What? It's holiness. It's Christ-likeness. Be diligent in these things. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that is, if we become more like Christ as we grow in Christ-likeness, what will happen? Verse 8, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody feel like you're being ineffective or unproductive? Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One final thought on this today, though. The diligent pursuit of rest. Why do they put that in there? Because I do not want anyone to walk away from this thinking, Pastor Dan said we need to work hard, work until we drop. I didn't say that. There's a place, there's a time. There's a time for a diligent pursuit of rest, isn't there? In fact, God has a word for that, and he even built it into us. What is that word that he, in that concept that he built into us? Sabbath. Sabbath means what? It's a rest. When God ceased, was it because he was exhausted? He was tired? No, he ceased as a pattern for us that we might cease from our work. One day in seven is a Sabbath rest. Nowadays, we get 2 days, don't we? 2 days in seven, sometimes more. Or sometimes less for some of us, I'm afraid. Which brings me to my point, the diligent pursuit of rest. I'm not suggesting that we need to work ourselves to death. We need to observe the Sabbath. And by that, I don't mean that we sit around in the house and we have rigid rules about I can walk only so many steps and carry so many pounds of things, right? That's not Sabbath. Sabbath was turned into a regulation that bound people. The Sabbath was a gift of God to people that said, rest from your work, rest from your toil. So we need to regularly rest. We need to take vacations. Now, why did I bring this up? Because, first of all, I think it's important, but I realized something. I was having a conversation with someone here. I realized, you know, earlier this week, when after a particularly difficult time, I got a chance to sleep, when I slept 17 hours and then spent the next 2 days sitting on the couch staring into space, I realized, you know, maybe there's a time to rest as well. When I realized my last vacation was 2006, it's like, okay. So I'm taking this opportunity to announce to you, I'm taking a week off in September, so don't bother calling me. It'll be mid-September. I'll let you know when that time is coming. And we're going to have a guest speaker then. What did someone say? You sluggard? Uh-huh, okay. I bet I know who said it. So I'm looking right at him. And you're not hiding. I know you're trying to, but you're not, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lion outside. I'm not going to be here that day. So, you know, there is a time for rest, isn't there? Yes, there is. So. I want to ask you, this closing thought, is the way ahead of you blocked with thorns? Or is it a smooth highway? Think of your life. Do you see your life as opportunities for productive and fruitful service for the Lord? Or do you see a lot of painful thorns and consequences and problems in your way because we've been lazy, we haven't been disciplined, we haven't taken advantage of opportunities, we haven't acted when we should have? Well, you know what? I think we've all been guilty of that to some degree or another, haven't we? But you know, that's the glorious thing about the gospel is that it always offers cleansing, refreshment, a new start, doesn't it? So maybe today can be your day to say, you know what, I don't want to keep trying to pluck my way through these thorns here. I want a smooth highway in front of me that comes from being diligent. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of rest, the Sabbath rest that you have built into us, the need for that. But Lord, it's not just a rest of the physical body, a cessation of physical toil, Lord. It's also a Sabbath rest of the heart and the mind, of the troubles of our lives, and it's a time, Lord, to find our rest in you. It's a time of worship. God, you didn't institute the Sabbath just to be another rule for us to follow. You gave it as an expression of your mercy and your goodness, that we would cease from our toil, cease